Well, praise the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is company founder of Scriptures, Rosario Abati. Well, as usual, the first thing I would like to say is I would like to thank you for ordering this month's teaching tape, and I hope with all my heart, and I really mean this, that it will be a great inspiration and revelation to you. I would also like to mention that if you ever have any questions or comments or suggestions, I would appreciate it if you would either email me, call us at our office, or just write me a letter. I'd also like to mention that you have our full permission to copy this tape as many times as you like and to give it away free to your family, friends, any unsaved person you may know, free of charge. Remember, our goal is to win souls for Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost of all. Well, this month's lesson is called The Other Side of God, and it's tape offered number 0003. Now, the reason I named this The Other Side of God is because whenever I'm driving in my car, I usually will turn on a Christian radio, a talk show, in our local area here in Cleveland. And right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a person, I won't mention their name, but he's on the air for 2 hours. He's the number one Christian talk radio personality on this particular station. And for 2 hours, sometimes I listen to this person over and over and over again talk about one thing and one thing and only, and that's condemnation. Condemnation, condemnation. And I wonder sometimes if this person realizes that what Jesus said in the book of John, and here's what he said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but I came to save the world. Now, sometimes I wonder, why is it that people use Christ's name and condemn everybody and everything? I don't understand that at all, especially when you're on a Christian talk radio show or a Christian TV show. Why is it that you would continually condemn your brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And I'll read it to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, to me, that's a very clear statement concerning the believer's relationship with God. There is no condemnation now and forever. Now, what I would like you to do in that same chapter, go to verse 31. That's 8:31 of Romans. Now, I'll read it to you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And let's keep reading. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now listen to this. It is God that justifieth. In other words, is God going to condemn you on one hand and then justify you on the other hand? Of course not. God is not double-minded. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died for you? Now that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for all of your sin, now is going to turn around and condemn you for what he died for. Well, that makes no sense at all. If we would just stop, take a step back and realize what we're saying, and when we do, we realize we're not speaking the truth. Christ that died, yea, rather, it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can Jesus be our lawyer and our prosecutor at the same time? Of course not. That's what that means, friends. Jesus is interceding for you right now on your behalf. And he certainly is not condemning you, and neither is God. verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now listen to this, friend. This is the state that God your Father says you're in if you're a believer. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that's the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, all I would like to ask anyone who preaches this message of condemnation on believers, what are you going to do with these verses? Tear them out of the Bible and just throw them away? Well, it seems that that's what a lot of preachers want to do. They want to, for whatever, God knows only why, whatever reason, to put you back under fear, guilt, and condemnation when God your Father has already justified you. And if you don't know what the word justified means, it's more than just being pardoned for your sin or God looks the other way. There's a saying that goes like this, and it's perfectly fits the word justification. Just as if I never sinned. See, God treats you and regards you just as if you never sinned. He sees you innocent from beginning to end. And he's the only one that can see that. However, there is a way that we as believers can see what God sees. And there's only one way to do that, friends. And that's to look to God's Word. You see, when we look in the mirror, we're going to see something different than what God says and sees what we are in Christ. So what we must do in order to agree with God concerning what he's done for us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, we must turn to his Word, and there we can see what God says and sees. You see, friends, what I'm going to try to do today is I want you to see the other side of God. I want you to see a loving God that loved you so much that he didn't want to punish you for his sin. So what he did is he put on a human body, became a man, and died on a Roman cross for you, friends. Now, does that sound like someone who wants to condemn you? I mean, if God wanted to condemn us, then why didn't he just do it? Why did he bother sending Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to pay the penalty for our sin? I mean, are we going to mock God into believing and thinking that what Jesus Christ did on that Roman cross and the life that he lived for 33 and a half years just meant nothing to God? Now God is just going to look the other way, not even consider what Jesus Christ did for you, and now he's going to go out and about each and every day waiting for you to make a mistake so he can condemn you. Well, folks, that's about as far from the truth as anything could ever be. And if we would read the Bible, we would understand the other side of the God, the real God, just as it says in John. For God is love. So if you want to describe God to somebody, if someone asks you, what's God like? Well, that would be easy to describe him. God is love. He's all love. He's not hate. I never read anywhere that God is hate. It says God is love, and he proved his love even while we were sinners. Romans chapter 5. Christ died for us. See, so we must, as believers, see the other side of God. Otherwise, we're going to walk around on eggshells, thinking that every time we make a mistake, God is going to pound us into the ground. Well, again, none of that's true, friends. So I'm going to point out some scriptures for you, because I want you to see, from God's point of view, how He treats and regards you. Because once you know that, see, then you're going to walk around with a clean, clear conscience. And you're going to feel good about who God says you are in Christ. Now, I point that out because that's what we're going to show you. We're going to show you what God says you are in Christ, not what you are in yourself. We should all know what we are in ourselves. We're sinners. But what's good about that is that qualified us for salvation. Now, as sinners, it's nice to know, and it's a true fact, that God no longer treats and regards us as sinners. Because in Romans chapter 6, if you read that whole chapter from verse 1 all the way to verse 11, you'll see that God took the old man, all that you were in Adam, and He took that person, and He put that person in the ground and covered him up and buried him. God no longer deals with the old man. God no longer sees the old man. As far as God is concerned, your old self, all that you are in yourself and all that you are in Adam, was crucified and was buried. And as far as God is concerned, that person doesn't exist anymore. See, now we have to learn, as Paul teaches us, to renew our mind, not to remove our mind, but to renew our mind to the facts that God is trying to teach us in His Word. So the first scripture I would like you to turn to is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And if you have your Bible, please turn there. Now, these verses I'm going to read you in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17, are scriptures that most believers are really familiar with. But what I want to do today is I want to really take a look at these scriptures. And friends, I want these scriptures to explode in your mind. Because the Bible says, and God is the one that wrote the Bible, in case you don't know that. It says that it is impossible for God to lie. In fact, He's the only one that cannot lie. And sometimes people ask you a question, well, can God do anything? You just say no. What do you mean? Well, it's impossible for God to lie. So we can trust Him on everything He tells us in His Word. But it's unfortunate that sometimes we look at His Word and read it, but miss the whole meaning because we're not studying God's Word. You know, Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word. See, in one verse, there could be so much there, friends, and there could be so much that could help you to understand exactly what it is that God has done for you through the person of His Son. But in many cases, we just kind of read over it. But tonight, we're going to try to study these few scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. So I want you to listen really closely, and if you have your King James Bible, please read along. Verse 17, therefore, that means everything that Paul had told you previously to this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, any man, not male and female, man means mankind. Therefore, if any person who is a member of the human race be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. See, now that's past tense, friends. Past tense. Remember what I told you about Romans chapter 6? How God crucified and buried you and covered you up? Well, that's what he's referring to here. Your old self was done away with. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? Not gonna become new. Are become new right now. When you were born again and received God's Spirit, right at that moment in time, you became this new creature that Paul is talking about. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow or 20 years from now or when you leave this body. He's talking about something that happened right now. In fact, this was written 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? So this happened 2,000 years ago before you were even born. Think about that one. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, folks, we were running away from God. So God had to snatch us back and drag us to the cross of Christ so we would receive Jesus as Savior. Now, where did I get that from? Well, the Bible does say that no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. But you know what? That Greek word draw really means drag. So God had to drag you to the cross. And once you were there, then you made that one choice that lasts forever, and that's to choose, and that was to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it was God that dragged you to that point. And now you have the ministry of reconciliation. You're supposed to go around telling people that God is not mad at you anymore. He poured all of his wrath upon the person of Jesus Christ. Now you can come to God just the way you are, and he will receive you as his own son. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not, now listen closely, not imputing, that means crediting, not imputing their trespasses, that means that all the evil things you do, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, why is it that God says he will not impute or credit or charge your trespasses against you, but yet you have people, so-called Christians, imputing sin to you every single moment, 24 hours a day? Now, who's right and who are we to believe? You know, God says, let every man be a liar, but God be true. Now, is God telling us the truth here? Or is God just kidding around with his word and he really didn't mean what he said, as some people seem to infer? Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Now, when someone asks you, what do you do for a living? Your response should be, well, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And that's what you are, folks. That's what it says right here. It doesn't say some are ambassadors for Christ, but it says you are an ambassador for Christ. That's your full-time job. How about that? Everything else you do in between is your part-time jobs, folks. All right, verse 21. Again, let's listen to this because there's so much in this one little verse, but sometimes we miss it because we don't study God's word. So I hope I'm encouraging you to study God's word, because that's what we all need to do, you know. Sometimes we're so dependent upon someone else to teach us that we just forget about picking up the Bible ourselves and reading the word. As in Acts chapter 17, you know, the Apostle Paul was in, I think it was in Thessalonica, and he said that the disciples there, the Jews there, received his word with eagerness, and they listened to everything that he said, but then what they did is they went home to find out if these things were true by studying the scriptures. Well, see, it didn't say reading them, it said studying the scriptures. Well, this is what we need to do. We need to study the scriptures to find out for ourselves whether or not what we're hearing, and there's certainly a lot of thoughts out there, and you know what I mean, we should find out whether these things are true or not, and if they're not, then just reject them. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. God gives you the right. You know, we're supposed to believe what's true, not what's not true. And it doesn't matter who it's coming from. A lie is a lie. And it's unfortunate that there's a lot of liars out there that are trying to convince us that they're telling us the truth. However, when we know the truth, we'll be able to recognize all the liars. And Paul told us to mark these people. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, now that's speaking of Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, not in ourselves. See, so what God did in the person of Jesus Christ, he made him sin. He made him sin, who knew no sin. And then he turned around and made us righteousness, who had no righteousness. See, but it's God that's only able to do this, folks. And if God says, and he does, not only here, but throughout the Bible, if God says that you are righteous in Christ, and that's where you are, because that's where God placed you when you received Christ as Savior, then that's what you are, folks. Don't believe what someone else may say about you. Don't even believe what you think about yourself. Remember, Jesus said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect way to deny yourself. Here it is. Run this tape back 5 times until it's embedded in your mind. Replace all, that's A-L-L, all that you are in yourself with all that you are in Christ. And that's a perfect denial of self. You want me to repeat that? Replace all that you are in yourself with all that you are in Christ. And that's a perfect denial of self. Don't hold on to anything from your old life, because there's nothing there that's worthwhile to hold on to. Let your whole entire old life be buried, dead, and done away with once and for all. Good riddance, old man. This is what we must do in order to see what God has done through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, friends. See, we're looking at the other side of God, the one that very few tell us about. Even though it's the whole Bible from beginning to end, even the Old Testament, shows us of a loving God who cares about us, who loves us, and went all the way to the point of where he sent his only begotten son to be punished for what we should have been punished for. Now, do you call that a God that hates you? Would you call that kind of person someone that hates you and wants to condemn you and wants to send you to hell? Of course not. You know, it's about time we saw God as he really is. Not God as we understand him, but God as he really is. He's a loving God, and he proved it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not hate the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that sound like a God that hates you? Let's turn back to Romans chapter 5, and let's start reading at verse 8. And listen and study. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, this is before you were saved, friends, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Again, does that sound like a loving God? Or does that sound like a God that hates you? A God that wants to punish you? You know, my God, if we would just believe what God has done through the person of Jesus Christ, then we probably could just close the book. But But I guess God realized and knows how stubborn we are and how easily we're strayed from the truth, that he had to write it down over and over and over and over and over again until it somehow gets through our thick skull. I hope you don't not offended by that. Now what I'd like you to do is go back another chapter. Now, you know, I'm not trying to go backwards. I'm just trying to build on something here. And I saved the best for last. To me, this is the most dynamic scripture, I should say scriptures in all of the Bible, that tells you and shows you exactly what God has done through his Son and what condition he says you're in when you receive Christ as Savior. You know, and it's about time we found out who God says we are in Christ. Not what your neighbor says you are, or your boss, or what your wife may think about you, or your husband, or your children. What counts is how does God see me, and what does God say I am? What condition am I in? Am I in a relationship with God? Is it a father-son, father-daughter relationship, or what kind of relationship is it? Well, let's find out. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 4 through 8. And friends, these are dynamic scriptures that we should memorize and read over and over and over and over again until it becomes part of our being. As I said earlier, God said that we should renew our minds, not remove our minds. And we renew our mind through his word. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to have to explain a little bit as we go along. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, I know that sounds a little hard to understand, okay? But what Paul is trying to do in this verse, he's trying to point out the fact that when you work for something, how can the thing that you receive, how can that thing be called a gift? Right? It couldn't be because you earned it. In other words, if I were to ask you to go out and wash my car, and then after you washed it, I gave you $5, would you consider that $5 a gift, or did you earn it? Well, of course it wouldn't be called a gift because you earned it. You washed the car. Well, that's what verse 4 means. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, okay, but believeth on him that justifieth, in other words, just as if that person has never sinned, he justifieth the churchgoers, the good people. That is what my Bible says. It says justifieth the ungodly. Do you believe that God is able to justify the ungodly person, the most wicked person that you could ever imagine? It says his faith is counted for righteousness. Let's keep on reading. Not, you didn't earn that righteousness. You got it by believing. You know, if we go back to Abraham, whose name was Abram, he said, Abram, come out here. I want to show you something. And he told Abram to look up. And he said, see all those stars there? Well, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And Abram said, well, if you say so, I believe you. And when he believed, God counted him righteous. Well, that's the way God counts us all righteous, when we believe. And he's the only one that can do that. And he can do whatever he wants, folks, whether we like it or agree with it or not. He's God. He's the one that's on the throne. He's the one that makes the rules. He's the one that sets the boundaries. Now, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. In other words, God can credit you all of his righteousness without any works at all. Verse 7, saying, blessed, and please listen to this, folks, saying, blessed are they who whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Well, God's describing a person. Or is he describing someone who doesn't exist? He's describing a real person. That person is you, friend. If you believe in Christ, that's you in verse 7. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Again, is that a person that doesn't exist? Someone that God made up? Of course not. He's talking about you, the believer, friends. And David says this is a blessed state. It's a state of God showing his love for you. Put it on, friends. It's absolutely free, and it's a free gift from God. Well, I can see that we reached this month's lesson, reached the end of this month's lesson, I should say. And I hope with all my heart that you enjoyed it. As I say always, if you ever have any questions, please contact me. Feel free to do so anytime. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next month.